Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We've been talking, I know it's a theme that recurs a lot in my radio programs, but we've been talking, especially this last week, about really taking the Lord seriously and what He wants to do with us and in us and through us, and how we want to be the bearers of good seed, and we want it to bear good fruit in our lives. We live in very challenging times right now. We see difficulties all around us, not perhaps as some other countries are experiencing, but nevertheless, we're seeing a lot of unrest, a lot of challenges, a lot of danger. Brothers and sisters, this is by all means, this is the time to take stock of yourself, to do in a certain way an inventory of yourself, to say, where am I? Because you are going to live forever. You really are. You are going to live forever. Heaven or hell, a lot of that, in fact, all of that, depends upon your willingness to hear the word of the Lord and to follow Him. Really. I want both the joys and the sorrows to bear fruit for eternal life. I want those things in my life to bear fruit. It seems like when we have lots of joys and blessings, well, it makes sense to say, gee, God, thank you. But what about when the crosses come? God is pruning, to use one image. God is purifying, to use another. But He's using everything, the good and the difficult, to draw us to Himself. Are we willing to be drawn? Are we willing to be led? Please trust Him. He is the one person you absolutely can trust, who has your greatest good in mind, your greatest good. He loves you. Let's take a look at the first reading here from the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 5 to 18. When it was reported to the king of Egypt that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants changed their minds about them. So the people have now gotten out of town, so to speak. And they exclaim, what have we done? Why have we released Israel from our service? So Pharaoh made his chariots ready and mustered his soldiers, 600 first-class chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt, with warriors on them all. So obstinate had the Lord made Pharaoh that he pursued the children of Israel even while they were marching away in triumph. He regretted his decision to free them right after he had made it. The Egyptians then pursued them. Pharaoh's whole army, his horses, chariots, and charioteers caught up with them as they lay encamped by the sea in front of Baal Zephon. Think, brothers and sisters, you're on foot, thousands of people, and you're walking, hopefully to freedom. And suddenly Pharaoh's entire army is coming down upon you. I mean, there's no chance for survival. What would you do? What would you do? Would you stay with the people? Would you try to run to save your own self? Would you stay with the people or run? What would you do? Would you panic? Or would you say, Lord, I trust you. Even in this moment of seeming disaster, I trust you. Pharaoh was already near when the children of Israel looked up and saw that the Egyptians were on the march in pursuit of them. In great fright, they cried out to the Lord and they complained to Moses. That's, we always had to blame somebody, don't we? And they complained to Moses, were there no burial places in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die in this desert? Why did you do this to us? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Did we not tell you this in Egypt when we said, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? Far better for us to be slaves of the Egyptians than to die in the desert. But what had they been doing the whole time they were slaves? Moaning and bemoaning and, oh God, do something. And so God does something through using Moses. And they haven't even experienced what God has for them. They're already complaining. I understand their fear, but they're already complaining. But Moses answered the people. Look at the leadership here. Moses answered the people, "Fear not. Stand your ground, and you will see the victory the Lord will win for you today. The Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still." Moses was putting every ounce of his trust in God so strongly that he was able to declare what I just read. He was able to declare that to the people. "Fear not, stand your ground. The Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still." That is, keep your eyes fixed on the goal. Don't run away. Stand with the people. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Moses is then running to the Lord saying, "Help me, Lord, help me." And the Lord is saying, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And you lift up your staff, and with hand outstretched over the sea, split the sea in two." Think about those words, split the sea in two. Lift your staff, split the sea in two. What would you say? How would you handle that? Maybe in the extremity of the circumstances, you would do it as Moses did. But I'll bet you any of us, most of us would be of two minds. Do I do this or do I run? "But that the children of Israel may pass through it on dry land. Lift up your staff, and with hand outstretched over the sea, split the sea in two, that the children of Israel may pass through it on dry land. But I will make the Egyptians so obstinate that they will go in after them. Then I will receive glory through Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and his charioteers. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I receive glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers." They went right in, obstinate, stubborn, to the nth degree, they went right in. And what happens? The waters close over them. But God's people get through to the other side. It's one extraordinary testimony. Pay heed to it. Sometimes we can feel that we're in that kind of extremity. There's nowhere to go except through the sea, and we can't do it. But we pray and God parts the water. There are all kinds of ways that God parts the water for us. Where's your faith? Trust him. Trust him that he knows what he's doing. Even if he seemingly doesn't answer your plea, keep trusting him and watch what he does. "Let us sing to the Lord. He has covered himself in glory." That's one of the excerpts from Exodus chapter 15, one of the most powerful. I've heard that put to music. That's extraordinarily powerful. "I will sing to the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphant. Horse and chariot he is cast into the sea. My strength and my courage is the Lord. He has been my Savior. He is my God. I praise him. The God of my father, I extol him. The Lord is a warrior. Lord is his name." Brothers and sisters, when you go through difficult circumstances and you experience God doing something for you, read Exodus 15. Thank God for rescuing. Thank God for helping. Thank him for supplying. Take time to thank him. Not, oh yeah, God helped me out of this. It couldn't have been anybody else but God. And we say that, which is great. But do we actually go before the Lord and thank him? Not just once, but again and again and again. And the verse before the gospel today says, "If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Sometimes when we're in deep fear or anger, our ears get very dull and it's hard to hear. But just say, "Lord, I can't hear you. Help me. Help me, because I want to put my trust in you. I know the only way I can go forward is to put my trust in you. If today you hear his voice, Harden not your heart. God doesn't care about me. It doesn't matter. I'm going to take care of myself. That's hardening your heart. Don't do that. In the Gospel of Matthew, this time chapter 12, verses 38 to 42. Some of the scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." The scribes now and the Pharisees, they want entertainment. They're just kind of goading him on. And he said to them in reply, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. And at the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and there is something greater than Jonah here." He's speaking of himself. "At the judgment, the queen of the south will arise with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here." He's speaking of himself. And we're too many times by sin, by pride, which of course is sin as well, but by the particular sins of pride and arrogance, we can block out God. "I don't need God, I can take care of it." That's just the perfect recipe for disaster, eventually. Give it up. Give it up. Put your trust in him. And I can guarantee you he will not fail you. God is always faithful to his promises that he would take care of us. But he does need us to commit to expressing to him our need. You have to humble yourself. You don't have to grovel. You could do that, though. But basically, humble yourself. Say, "Lord, I don't know a way through. I don't know a way out. I'm going to put all my trust in you. Help me. Help me to keep putting my trust in you." Watch what God does. You think, you know, many people say to me, "Well, it would have been easier if I had lived in the time of Jesus." And yet, look what happened in the time of Jesus. The scribes, the Pharisees, and many other people ignored him, challenged him, threatened him, eventually killed him. What are you doing when you've had disappointment in your life and sorrow in your life? "I'm not trusting anybody, least of all God." Just want to urge you, come back to God, because that honestly is where the answer is. And it's hard when we've experienced sorrow and pain and difficulty. It's hard to trust him. But if you humble yourself and come and say, "Lord, help me to trust you again." Don't manufacture it. Just say, "Lord, help me to trust you again. Help me to renew my faith in you again." When we do that kind of thing, God draws very near. That's humility. Sometimes it's hard to get the words out of your mouth, but do it. And God will draw very, very near to you. Father Simon has a marvelous thing to say about this Gospel of Matthew, and as I begin tomorrow's program, I'll relate that to you. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.